so special to you. When you got a little group going. 8-10 people. Which is, happens a lot of places. Rural communities mostly now, you see that more often. And someone walks in the door off the street, or even gets sent by, oh my God, a treatment center. They're special. They're 10% of your fellowship. You got a meeting where there are 200 people and a newcomer walks in the door, how many people go up to them? And how special they seem when they're 0.5%. I think that in our growth, being able to have the message of Narcotics Anonymous at a place you can order it through a mail order catalog, were some of the seeds of complacency. Because we don't have to reach out like we used to. We don't have to drive 2 hours on a Tuesday night, because that's the only place there's an NA meeting that you can get to. That's the closest one. We don't have to do that anymore, most of us. And I think that what has happened, see, I don't lay blame. We all have defects. We all have egos. You know, they shine on each other all the time. I don't blame the individuals involved in World Services, you know, the hundreds that have been involved over the last 7 years. Among those hundreds have been sincere, dedicated, wonderful people. Among those hundreds have been jerks, just like at my home group. Among my home group the last 7 or 8 years, there have been wonderful people. There have been jerks, too. Right? I mean, I don't lay it on that. I lay it on complacency, and I lay it on we forgot the magic of reaching out. We forgot the magic of reaching out. We forgot the magic of reaching out. We quit welcoming the newcomer. We quit doing 12-step work. We quit doing service as part of recovery. Groups quit sponsoring H&I meetings. Groups quit doing outreach to another group 20 miles away that was in a community where there was just a couple of people trying to get started, and every once a week the whole group would go to support that group, the new group. We quit doing that because we didn't have to do it anymore. I believe the seeds of complacency, the seeds of this, were built into the process. You know, how do we move away from what seems to be a spiraling? Now, I believe the way we do that, you know, is to begin with me and have me begin to reach out again. And one more time, put my name on the helpline list. And one more time, start a local literature committee and fill a need. We need a pamphlet about this and start writing. And one more time, make a commitment to go to an institution. One more time, do the things that I think, you know, precipitated, or bring somebody with me. You know, I try to continue to do those things I used to do. That's what I think the answer is. We need to start doing once again, or acting once again, as if recovery was a precious thing. No. And making the kinds of effort we used to make. And that's driving new meetings and starting new meetings and doing all the things that because the growth does not have to take away from the message. That's what I perceive.
Moving right along here, and it seems like we're at a phase now where we're bringing out deeper things that maybe Jim, Joe, Greg, and Bo didn't think we'd get to share today, and Ed. One thing y'all can do is form a newsletter and get it out every month and fill it up with what your members think and feel and need and ask questions about. You can write and print and distribute free or at cost or at a profit if you like, within a service body or committee, pamphlets. Just raw new pieces that one way or another seem good and, you know, your local members like them. And of course, if they're no good, they're not going to move. giant catch there. And you may lose money on the deal, I'll tell you that up front. It's part of it. But you know, and the world's reaction would be that they're losing control of the fellowship, and that may be for the best. It might be best that the world not feel that they control the fellowship. We didn't feel the need to, but there's a lot of negative sanctions. Government runs itself by applying positive and negative sanctions. And the positive sanction is like you do what the government wants, and then they'll give you a raise and a better, you know, paycheck and whatever, and more power and prestige. And then if you don't do right in the government's opinion, they give you a negative sanction, which means they either kill you or, you know, yeah, a sanction with prejudice, extreme prejudice, that's where it comes from. That's where they kill you. But there are more subtle sanctions. They like to just neutralize you. I've been neutralized. You know, I still got my balls, folks, but I've been neutralized. I've also got an MS-DOS computer with a 20 meg hard drive and WordPerfect 5.0 and Grammatic 4 and other friends who also have machines. We're not happy. I have no doubt if you don't do this, something, keep pursuing this work on the history, find the facts, print them, put them into a distributable form, build the document. That may be the most important key thing, because a lot of these people are fighting for one thing that's called personal credit. Okay? Like, we earned our stripes for better or worse. We're perfectly imperfect. You know, we came, we got clean, we got to serve, we got to step down and move on. We're still around. We can participate. We're available. I can't work. I have not paid off my bills one time yet since the book years. You know, I'm friends with her, but I've divorced my children's mother. You know, I'm remarried. I want to see what it feels like to have my bills paid. That's getting to be an object of curiosity to me. Like, you know, it'd be really, instead of hang climbing, it'd be more adventurous to see how it fucking feels to have your bills paid. It drives me crazy. I mean, my inventory, and I have people say I'm a poor example of recovery, you know, because I don't have money, so, which somewhat is related to I didn't sell out. Anyway, I have no doubt that the staff team approach will produce written materials of a quality which may seem like good materials to you. However, if they're not processed a certain way, they may fail to keep you clean at 3 in the morning when you're fixing to get loaded and you called up and your sponsor just died of an overdose because they haven't been flight tested. The way with the literature that you're used to thinking of and accepting is commonplace and generic and easy to do and no big deal. You know, it's easier to write a $100,000 check than to go through all this editing process. The reason that stuff's so tough and got such a strong thing in it is it'd be just like, instead of sitting here discussing it, let's say we were doing it, this room would have like maybe 10 tables, and there'd be an etching groups in different phases of progress, right? And anybody could read it, anybody could challenge any part of any line at any time, just about. Well, the document itself subjected to that kind of treatment, and a newcomer one day clean or 10 years clean can say, you know, like the thing he's talking about, I have no challenge out of bed. He's 100% right. You know, we're not powerless over the drugs. It is a disease of addiction that needs to be changed. But most of those things got caught. Maybe that one didn't get caught, but a lot of them got caught and changed. and were changed right then. I mean, and didn't get changed back, you know. Some of them flip-flopped. I mean, sometimes they'd change it from six to a half dozen, and then a conference or two later change it from a half dozen back to six. There were changes, non-substantive changes like that. But it's been read in a group setting. It's been exposed to the experience of the many, where the many had a say over the content. That's why the literature is different. And see, outsiders, people that are hired at our world office who learned how to write in college or working for a newspaper and really know how to write. No joke. They really are good writers. They're better writers than anybody up here. What we are expert at is the NA literature process. The new field of writing that's never been done this way before. Go out and get 1,000 addicts and work for 5 years and make it into a book. It's never been done before. We would put more time into one literature conference than the man hours they hired to build the atomic bomb that they used at Hiroshima. We would put that kind of energy into one conference. You try to buy that. You can't. And if this task team approach goes and that new material looks like, oh, this is so great, it'll go out on that wonderful, sweet old Yuck Yuck Fellowship that's been clean 6 months now, and they'll vote and they'll approve it. And they won't know no better till it's 3 a.m. and it don't work, the lifeline breaks, and they die. If it gets in past the point, it'll be real hard to get out. You sort of lost your chance already, but who knows? I mean, God makes ways. And when you people move as a body, nobody can stop you. And I'm glad you know, I'm not putting you down for not moving, because if you have one of the things as a world trusted servant over the years that I've taken my inventory on and put my ass on the line with the story of the basic text and other writings, is I figure if y'all don't have any way to inform yourselves, you're just doomed. So however we can get it in writing and into your hands where you can read it, even if it's hard or expensive or difficult or dangerous or whatever, then that must be done. Because until you can become accurately informed, how can you be capable of collective thoughts that's coherent and results in some kind of good action? So you must seek good, accurate information. You must explore topics in the round. And don't cut off the rough points. Don't do that to yourself. You know, don't drive away the dissenters. Hear them out. They're your people. They're your flesh and blood. They're like the parts of you that want to succeed but can't yet. You need them later on. You just may not realize it yet. And after it's been discussed in the round like that, then formulate a couple of proposed solutions and make selections. And this is a very normal process, and this is very conservative, traditional, bureaucratic process that I'm talking about here. I had to learn this. The agony that we went through watching some of this stuff go down drove me, among other places, to a library, and I read a book on bureaucracy. And it's one of the, you know, this, the following book, Far Into the Fellowship, book on bureaucracy says, in a fellowship, a bureaucracy of a spiritual, religious nature, efficiency is sacrificed in favor of individual opinion. And bureaucracies of a money-making, profit-making, financial nature, individual opinion is sacrificed in place of efficiency. Meaning, if you work for Gulf Oil and you don't do the job when you're supposed to, the way you're supposed to, you'll be demoted, transferred, or fired. That's it. That means if you're working for a church organization, they may not like you very much. You know, let's say, for instance, they're not going to apply the same negative sanctions. They're not going to be as rough on you. Okay, and then we are not a church or a religion. We're an anonymous spiritual fellowship. It's not that we have to be soft and wimped out and ineffectual. But we do want to be caring, loving, concerned, and gentle with our people. We don't want them doing what they can do right now very easily, which is go out and stick a needle in the arm and die. We need to be careful. We don't need to be writing cease and desist orders, paying an attorney to write cease and desist orders, to where a man in Alaska gets a letter in the mail that says, if you've been making copies or selling copies of that illegal printing of the Third Revised, this is formal notice, you know, stop and desist. Hell, God don't know what it is. It's like when he calls his friends in Alaska and the circle expands, and he calls some friends in the States. He finally gets through to some of the people that have been printing this illegal Third Revised, buys 20 copies. So a few weeks later, when I finally get my letter and I write WSO, I say, you know, your letters seem to be expanding the problem, not confining it. And I get a 2.5-page well-written justification for their legalism. And I don't think the guy that wrote me back the letter was looking at it like, well, I know what they're doing is wrong, but let's find a way to patch it up to where they don't get loaded and we don't get loaded because we're all in this together. It was a lot more like, I know they're members, but what they've done is illegal and wrong, and if necessary, we'll prosecute them to the full extent of the law. And I thought, who elected this guy? Y'all did, you know. But you need to do your homework, inform yourself, you know, become a little more sensible and responsible, and don't be swayed. I mean, you can check out my record, you know, see me out in the hall, I pull my pants down, you can check it all out, you know, check out other people, you know, make your selections carefully, you know. Thanks.
Yeah, I think we got time. I'm on local time now. I made the statement to somebody yesterday, I wasn't going to change my watch. I could keep up with my watch. You know. You want one more question?
I'm an addict. My name is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
The question I have for the panel is this. Are we is our service structure following the second tradition today? Do we have is a loving God still the ultimate authority in Narcotics Anonymous, or is it the World Service Conference and those guys? Thank you.
I'm Jim Manatic.
I'm Jim.
I don't know. I believe that despite maybe popular opinion or unpopular opinion, that the only way that can exist is a loving God. And a loving God is the source of our strength and will be, and that's a fact. That's a spiritual principle. That's something that no individual or groups of individuals can change. A loving God not will, but does express itself through Narcotics Anonymous, always.
Put it to you in this way. But for the loving grace of the Spirit, the impossible would not be possible. We all ought not be here. And in telling all that, I used to, you know, in my arguing within myself and in the coming to believe, you know, process that I came in and still going on, if there is such a loving power, why does it allow certain things to go on, like the dissent among us? You know, why can't the loving power, I mean, if it can bring me out of what I was into, why can't it get us to the point of where we wouldn't have no conflict with each other? Why can't the little bitty sentences at the beginning of the traditions, why can't that become more of a reality? You know, and the answer I came up with was lack of education. Just like in the 50s, you could say a couple of words and people would free. You'd strike terror to the bone. Bikers! Today's word is AIDS. You know, lack of education. I, too, am one of the ones that trusted and passed on, you know. And then last Wednesday night, standing in a meeting, and this guy come in, blah, 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 and infuriated me. And I'm real glad it was after the meeting, because what I told him to do was not spiritual. You know, like, if you want to burn the flag, make sure yourself is wrapped up in it. So be it. I mean, he touched the fiery part. But, you know, there's a spirit that is alive and well. A lot of us have thought that that spirit was dead, gone, and vanished, and would never come to be, and you know. But we are like a tribe, and unless we take the responsibility to pass our heritage on down the line, you know, then that newcomer that comes in, we'll get to see what's in the meeting, but what are you going to do the other 23 hours a day? You want him coming around you all the time? No, you want him to happen, you want to happen to him what happened to you is you became responsible and growed up and took responsibility for your own life and your own recovery and got a chance to pass that on. What's one of the greatest joys that you cannot buy? Go down to Kmart and buy it at the Blue Light Special. The feeling you get after 6 hours of sitting and talking to a newcomer, telling him about all the stuff that happened to you in your early years of recovery and why you believe Narcotics Anonymous works, versus, well, I think I'll push the VCR and watch, you know, Gone with the Wind another time. You know, and call me crazy and eccentric and, you know, well, you blew more money on NA than I make in a year, you know. I'm really glad I was able to make some money, bud. I remember when I couldn't. You know, those things, you know, that somehow or another, you know, allows me to stand here with no shame today. And that was a big issue for me. You know, it allows me to be the best Ed that I can be. And we got to shut down and go eat some lunch so we can stay sane and come back at 4 o'clock. And I thank y'all. And think about, talk about, go over and look at some of the archives. Touch. Let it become a reality to you so you can take it home in your heart and share. If you would, we'll form a circle and close with a prayer. After a moment of silent meditation, for those who would care to do that, Mark, would you lead us in a closing prayer? Grant us strength. Keep coming back. It works. It works.
Jimmy, stand up.
All right.
I get hungry.
I'm glad we covered some of the points.